Hey everybody, and welcome to the Indie Guy. I'm the Indie Guy, Jonathan Moody, and I've got a special guest with me tonight, Paul
Presenza.
Paul is a friend of mine. We watch really bad, cheesy B movies together a lot of times, and so I've always wanted to get Paul on the show and talk and everything and do a review. You can hear my dog kind of trying to come in here, but he's not going to. So anyway, did you hear him whimper? Whimpered a little bit. All right, here we go. To our review of Where's Skeeto? Nazi Hunter.
Where's Skeeto?
Where is he? I don't know. But
sorry, you got him.
He wasn't very small for a Where's Skeeto.
No.
I thought he'd be smaller than he was.
He did suck though.
Huh.
I'm kidding.
Oh God. This is okay. So typically on my reviews, as most people know, who's seen my reviews before, I do the good, the bad, and the ugly. I have decided to do the same here with this one, since we're doing one together. This is my first one where I'm co-hosting my review, so I told him, let's do the good, the bad, and the ugly. Slimer. Okay, first of all, the good, right? Let's start with the good. I thought that, and you can, you know, tell me what your thoughts are, but I thought that a lot of the funness of, I guess, funness is that word, funness of the 50s cheesy B movies was definitely oozing through the movie.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. That, I think, was mainly because of the acting. I thought the actors did a very, very good job, and a very convincing job with their roles, and they didn't overact and they didn't underact either. I thought they did a really good job playing in the roles that they had.
Yeah, definitely. And but then again, well, we'll get to the bad, I guess, in a little while. Let's not go into that right now. But the good, I would say, is that I really like the main two characters, the main two people. So acting was a lot of that. I think that the film just felt fun, you know, a little bit, you know, like it was not taking itself too seriously, you know, like it knew what it was. It knew it was like a campy B movie. And kind of went there. Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I can see that too. I don't know. I don't think I quite liked the film as much as you did. To me, one of the issues I had with the throwback kind of a film like that is that it captured it almost a little too much. Those films that are it's alluding to back in the 50s and early 60s, part of the reason why we consider them kitschy now is because, you know, they tend to have melodramatics and long parts of the movie where there's nothing but bickering going on. And that's part of the problem here, that it captured that a little too much,
mm-hmm.
a little too well.
Yeah, definitely.
And that was just the way I kind of looked at it. A little more action, actually realistic action, would have helped.
Okay, well, we're going to get into that right now, because we're going to go right into the bad. Because, you know, the good, like, the acting, and the you know, whatever, I thought that was fun, but
I still have a few more good things I could say.
Okay, go ahead.
One thing, as far as the director goes, Mr. Mim, I think he did a pretty good job as far as the way he set up all his shots. I think his composition is very good. You know, I've seen a lot of other indie directors who are a lot more ham-handed with the way that they set up their scenes. I liked the use of the places that he used. The settings were all fairly legal, with the exception of the cafe scene. That seemed a little too contrived. It was very small. Could have done that in another place. But I mean, you know, that sort of thing where you're setting the table, sort of setting the scenes is very important in a film, especially in an independent film where you don't have the kind of resources that they do in Hollywood. So I thought he did a pretty good job with mm-hmm. that. And also it was a good idea shooting it in black and white. I think that also helped with the verisimilitude.
Well, this is your first Mimiverse movie.
Yes.
You had never seen any. You nope. met him.
I met him. Scares the Care a couple mm-hmm. of times.
But you never actually watched any of his movies. So.
No, but I've always wanted to.
Yes, and so I'm glad. I'm kind of disappointed. I wish I had shown you other ones beforehand, because then I think you might treat it differently.
Context.
Because, like, even though, See, it does this where it goes blank. But it's still recording,
oh,
so that's
okay.
good. So here's the thing. So with a lot of the old films that he's done, you don't really have to see them beforehand or whatever. You don't have to see all the older ones.
Right.
Except this one, I feel like, is a little bit different. And so this is where I'll go start kind of segueing to, like, my ideas of the bad stuff. I felt like where Skeeto was a little bit different than his normal horror things. Either I felt like he was kind of running out of ideas or whatever, because, like, even though there are movies like The Fly, which I think this is very much a homage to, was the original Fly with,
right?
This is an homage to that. And I really, I enjoy that. I think that was great that they did that. I mean, they chose not a fly, but a mosquito, in order to do that. So I thought that was great. But the problem with it is the movie itself being Where Skeeto sounds very much like, what did we say before,
Sharknado.
Which I feel like that was kind of like trying to combine different things, which is what they did in the, but they didn't and tell me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong on this, and if you know differently, but there wasn't really any Where Skeeto, like there wasn't any movies where they combined the two kind of names and put, like I don't think that was a thing. That's
no.
a thing now more so than it's been back then.
I can't think of anything that would have been like that in the title. They would have done something similar plot-wise, but not as far as the title goes.
Right. So I felt like from the very beginning when I heard that title, I was like, I don't know if I wanted to see it because I want to own all of Chris's movies, like, period. Like, I want to collect them all. Like Pokemon, I want to collect them all. But when I saw it, I was just like, the title, I was like, oh, man, this sounds kind of like Sharknado. Sounds like it's going to be kind of goofy, kind of silly. But, I don't know. Like, look at movies like Phantom from, was the Monster from Phantom Lake. That's a great title. That sounds like something that would have been in the 50s.
Right.
Every one of his titles sound like something, except for this one. It just sounds like more modern.
Well, fortunately, it doesn't fall to that level of self-aware kish that the Sharknado's movies have.
Right.
This was actually better than that, I think.
Definitely.
But that doesn't bother me so much. It's just little bitty technicalities. I mean, technically, it's I think I mentioned this before. It's usually only the female mosquito that actually drinks blood from human beings. So maybe not a lot of people know that, but that's actually true for mosquitoes. So that's kind of like a missed opportunity because you could have had a female lead play that and would have been a very interesting version of that creature. Then he could have done something else with the male character.
Right.
But even so, I mean, it was still kind of an interesting idea. And of course, the fact that we're talking about, independent cinema without a whole lot of money, the monster really is nothing more than a mask and a couple of gloves. And I know we mentioned some part about flying, but there was no wings and there was just no way I was going to expect any flying going on.
And the budget.
Yeah. I mean, but they understand.
Hoping that
they do what they can, given what they've got. And
but even in the 50s, they didn't do that. I don't think they didn't have any, too many, flying things, because they didn't really have the...
They had a few things. They were just really, really bad. I'm thinking a giant claw, like the big wooden puppet on strings.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty bad. So that's kind of the thing is, if you don't really have the money or the ability to do it well, it's best to avoid it. So I think that was probably a wise move on Mr. Mim's part to avoid that, unless he had something... really, really convincing. But otherwise, I still think it was, it was for what it is, it's still an enjoyable movie. My only other issue with it was that there was a lot of bickering. It seemed like there was a lot of padding. Pacing was kind of problematic. I wanted to see more stuff going on, especially in the first half of the film where there's just seems like there's a lot of exposition going on.
Definitely.
I
felt that too. Like there was times where they would talk. We were even talking about it. There was like a scene the guy has a knife, he can kill somebody, but he's just talking. And
right,
I understand
right.
this is like, that is to me a scene in a 50s movie, you know, or whatever. That's like the typical thing, is the bad guy talks, and then,
right.
you know, or whatever, and nothing, you know what I mean?
Well, unfortunately, it doesn't work now just as much as it didn't work back then.
Right.
It doesn't ratchet up tension. Instead, it just drags the scene out.
And so I think that might be like a little bit of the problem of doing like 1950s style movies, because modern audiences might enjoy it for the throwback feel, but then they're like, you know, going, well, I don't buy this, I don't
right.
believe this, I don't
right.
like this, and
then I understand, but it, like I said, it does have a lot of good things going. I did like the feel. Like I said, I did like the way the camera was set up, which is very important. The composition, the acting, I thought was very, very good. So there's certainly a lot of positives there, and I would like to see more of his other films. I'd like to see how he handles some of the other topics.
Definitely, I have almost all of them. I need two more. So I need to get two more, and then I'm going to do like a retrospective of the Mimiverse at some point. And so maybe we'll watch a bunch in a row or something. Maybe have like a couple double feature nights and watch a bunch of them or something. But I love the Mimiverse. As far as my thoughts, because I've seen all the other ones, this is not my favorite, you know? It's not awful by any means. Like, it's, and I don't even think it's the worst of his ones, which even the worst are still better than a hell of a lot of movies made out today, you know, or whatever.
No, I've seen much, much, much worse movies than this.
Yeah, so this is fun. I think, I think the only thing that might have killed the movie in a way was a lot of the padding. A lot of the fights were just unrealistic.
Unconvincing.
You know, it'd be like, I'm going to punch you.
Yeah, and I think
then,
a lot of that
like
was
that.
Intentional. I understand that. However, you know, a little bit more realism.
Like staged, but not even.
Right.
You know, so anyway, I enjoyed it. It was fun. Like I said, it's not the greatest. I've seen way better movies from him. And there are a few that I love. Destination Outer Space is one of the ones I need, and that's actually one of my favorites. So I can't wait to get that again and watch it again.
Well, this might be a nice little way to introduce somebody like myself who would like to see more of Chris Mims or Mr. Mims movies, and this could be a good way to sort of enter into it, that whole universe.
And that's the beauty of the Mimiverse movies, as from what I've seen, is that you can watch this one, and it's not like you need to watch Monster Phantom Lake or Destination Outer Space or any of the other ones. I mean, there are some, like, maybe some throwbacks. I didn't notice any of this one. It seemed, like, completely original and different than them. But, you know, like, and maybe I missed them. So I may have to rewatch it again sometime.
And one thing I do have to say is the fact that one reason I really like independent films, especially in little independent films like this, is that they have heart. I mean, this is not some soulless corporation trying to make a buck. This is somebody who cares about making movies, cares about telling a story, cares about doing it in a certain style that he obviously likes. And I would much rather see a movie like this than to see, you know, the latest soulless blockbuster Hollywood crap-a-rama that tends to come out these days. So, you know,
totally agree.
I have to say it was a good way to spend, you know, it was an hour and a half.
An hour and a half, yeah.
So, well
done. Good. Yep, I liked it. We gave it two thumbs up. Well, I mean, I gave it a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
So he's got a hoof. I've got a hand. So we really appreciate it. Okay, so we're about to, like, when we stop this, we're going to go directly into the Indie Film Cafe, which is going to be airing on, not this Monday, Memorial Day, but the following Monday, June 5th, I think it is. Yeah, June 5th, I believe, at noon, it will be on the Indie Guy page. So, and you have something to plug. You've got a movie review thing that you'd like to plug.
Oh, yeah. Look out for the MooCal Reviews the Movies. Somewhere along the line, we'll put the link up on there, and you can check out all my little writings about various flicks that are out there.
also mention it once again at the Indie Film Cafe. But we want to say thank you guys for checking us out. Please subscribe to the Indie Guy. Also, like this video if you like it. If you like the Memoverse movies, like this video as well. And we'll also give you a link down below with the Memoverse site and stuff where you can get these movies. I mean, if you think a movie about a man turned into a killer, we didn't even say what the movie was about. Oh my goodness, we're the worst reviewers ever.
I think the title pretty much captures it all. Man turned into a mosquito.
Another thing I'll mention real quick before we end this thing is, like, for a movie called Nazi Hunter, like with the Nazi Hunter thing, there wasn't very many Nazis.
Yeah, there's not so much.
They need more Nazis. Sorry, next, if they do Werskito 2, more Nazis.
Ilsa. Bring back Ilsa.
Yeah, she double of the whatever.
She Mosquito of the SS.
Yes, that one. All right, well, thank you guys so much, and I hope you guys enjoyed it. And please subscribe, like, and check us out on the Indie Guy on both Twitter and Instagram.
And support independent cinema.
That is why we do this. All right, have a good one. Bye.